Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm your host, Lara Marie Shane Hall.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go, so in. Come a girl with a friend, you be both win. Hotel chillin'.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Sexy Unique Podcast. My name is Lara. You guys know that. And I'm here today with very special guest all the way from Chicago. It's Trisha Donnellan.
Hi, guys. Thanks, Lara, for having me.
You are so welcome. Thank you for being here.
I am super nervous. I told you before.
I know you're having like a nerves moment. It's going to be okay. Trisha was a patron who contacted me on Patreon and became like a super VIP patron. And really, you're the first person that has like patroned your way onto the pod, which congratulations.
Thank you.
I think to both of us.
I mean, essentially, I was buying your friendship, so to speak, which I'm okay with because it's basically like paying, you know, when you go to the bar, also you're buying friendship from the bartenders.
I know. And my dad tried to buy my friendship and love growing up. And so I've been through this before and it worked out okay, but I'm happy to be doing it again. And honestly, it was just, you did it right as I was transitioning out of that Patreon, like not even offering that. So you got in at the last second. You're really the only person that will ever get this opportunity. So, I mean, this is a huge moment. Yeah.
I earlier, and I don't know if you remember this, but I started listening to your podcast maybe about a year and a half ago. So I slid into your Instagram DMs with, I also messaged Molly McAleer.
Okay.
And I included a picture of Ken and I that I had, because I'd grabbed him when I saw him at Pomp once.
Yeah, as one does.
And you both responded and I got super excited. And then when I became a Patreon, I wasn't following the rules and wasn't sending emails to your sup email. I just tried to slide into your DMs again and you entertained it for a little bit. And then I realized I needed to start paying
back
and I needed to fork over some cash. And I really fell for that thing. I thought like it said five left or something for this opportunity. So I thought there had been more. It was a really good sales technique.
Yeah, it was. I only said it because I didn't want to set a precedent that like, I'm just going to allow whoever the fuck to like do that. Because I also was like, kind of in my head, like, who's going to do this?
Oh,
and then for years, for sure. It was no one. So I just tried to be like, make it really super exclusive.
Yes.
And I'm glad it worked.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Yeah, this must be kind of weird for you, though. I'm a total stranger and I feel like I've known you for like a year and a half because that's how podcasts go.
It's not that weird because like when you say it back to me and I have time to really think about it, then I'm like, oh, yeah, that is kind of weird. But like in the moment, I feel like I've met so many people through doing podcasts and stuff that I'm okay. just used to that being like the way that I meet a lot of people now.
Okay.
Or especially good. Like if I meet like readers or listeners, like mm-hmm. I like always meeting people that love the pod.
Good. Have you gone to any of those, like, did you ever have any dinners, whatever, with listeners, readers?
I haven't had a meetup in a really long time. Like, it's been almost a year, so I'm overdue for one. The last one I had was, like, on the eve of my 34th birthday, because it was when James was doing See You Next Tuesday. So
got
I just
it.
Said, like, I'm going to go to this tonight. Everyone who's in LA should come. But I need to do more reader meetups. And I was doing live shows, so those kind of counted as like reader meetups, but not any like dedicated night, which I think it does need to happen soon.
Yeah. Aunt Freckle, didn't she heckle you at a live?
Freckle did heckle at Carrie O'Donnell and I's live show where we did Kristen Doty's Road to Sur.
Oh my God, I love that.
She iconically heckled us, which there was some sort of sound recording problem on the part of the venue. So the whole, the show was maybe like an hour and a half, but like the first hour of the show didn't get recorded onto the USB that I gave the sound engineer.
Nice.
And only the last 30 minutes did, which didn't even have, I don't think it even had Freckles Heckles in there anymore. So she really got away with it.
Oh my God.
And then after that, I remember she was very apologetic to me and was like, fine, like whatever at the end of the day. But I was telling my mom about it and my mom thought it was the funniest thing she had ever heard because she loves Freckle. She's met her before because
yeah.
we did a music video together like
oh, nice.
A while back and my mom came to set for that and like met Freckle and was just charmed. And so she yeah. just thought it was hilarious, like yeah. not even rude, just thought it was like so funny and
yeah.
fun.
It's yeah, I guess it is super shitty to heckle, but I was a fan of the episode
Doty's Road to Sur.
Of an episode you had Anne Freckle on.
Oh yeah. I think Freckle is amazing. A true star.
People hated her but loved. Did you get a lot of like comments and stuff? It was tough to keep her on topic, but I didn't mind that really.
No, I think it's important to have people that like never interact with the Vanderpump Rules moment.
Right.
To like, it grounds all of us and gives yes. us perspective on our passion. But yeah, I'm so glad you're here.
I'm so
excited.
Thank you
for coming all the way from Chicago to do the pod.
Yes.
And when we were deciding what to cover, because, okay, so we initially started out being like, we will do the Secrets Revealed episode because every season of Vanderpump has...
Assuming there would be one.
Yeah, yeah. Assuming just normally and organically assuming yes. because the past few years there has been one.
Yes.
And then, of course, this shank of a season decided
awful.
They weren't going to do a Secrets Revealed.
Right.
And like...
Maybe there were no secrets to reveal.
I mean, if so, problematic.
Big time.
And some people need to be fired.
Yeah, I agree.
But so then we had this on the books. You're here from Chicago and it's like, what the fuck are we going to talk about?
I know. Hillary reached out to me. Hillary's the producer of the podcast that we work on. And she was asking about what episode, like what we were going to cover. And then I started looking at the Bravo schedule and I was like, oh shit, like what is this? And then even watching it yesterday, like it's Summer House Vanderpump mashup and it was confusing and I am so happy that you decided that we weren't going to do that because it might be a lot of lulls because it's funny to make fun of, but it's a pretty horrible show.
Yeah, I just haven't watched any of Summer House
yeah.
and it's like it's on my list and there are a lot of people I respect that are huge Summer House heads. So I feel like it could be really great, but
yeah.
I also was like not feeling super confident to like come in with an opinion on a show that I've never watched that is trying to clearly do some sort of cross promotion
right.
with an iconic television show.
Iconic. And there's not enough focus on the Vanderpump cast in those episodes. Yeah, and Kristen wasn't even there. I mean, so there's a ton of reasons not to do it. I was really happy.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a non-starter. And then I was really like, okay, what are we going to talk about? And then I realized that we could and should just throw it back to season 3, episode 1.
Yes.
And we would talk about that episode because that truly, it's nice to go back in time, especially after a season like season 7, and realize like the glory days and like really honor the times when we had it really, really good.
Yeah. And why we're here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not here. I didn't come to California for season 7. I came because of my love and devotion to the earlier seasons. And so I stick by Vanderpump. But it's not the same. I think season 3, maybe season 4 was the last fantastic season.
Yeah. I mean, 4 or 5, I think 5.
Lala's great.
Yeah, Lala's great. 4, 5, and 6, honestly, it just like kept ramping up. I feel like there was a boring one in there a little bit. Maybe season 4 I felt a little betrayed on, but then it quickly was erased because I think that was immediately like Sheena and Che had like problems.
Oh, right.
But like there was always something happening to like propel you through like the dud episodes.
For sure.
And then season 7 happened and I questioned everything. I mean, everyone that listens to this podcast knows that I was having like existential crises, plural, during this time. But
I questioned myself also. I think I just like the production, and it seemed in the earlier seasons it was less produced and it was a little rougher, and almost every episode delivered. And I guess that's what I loved about the earlier seasons, like especially season 2 goes down in history to me as one of the best reality show seasons ever.
Yeah, it has the epic payoff at the end. But then even watching this episode, it's like,
it's really good.
It's really good. And you realize that every line that these people say is like just a punch to the gut. Like,
oh, yeah.
Anything they're doing, like saying, it all is like so moving forward. And it's just like, it is a car. It's a self-driving car, essentially. Yeah.
And I just really miss Kristen's natural teeth.
Yeah.
She
I know.
Was so pretty. And I don't think I realized how pretty she was when I was watching a long time ago, because I think Stassi's really gorgeous and Sheena too. But Kristen, now thinking about Kristen like now versus then, I really liked her.
You liked vintage Dodie.
Version 1.
Yeah, version 1.0.
Her teeth, they're too, I don't like veneers on her. Just the whole thing is freaking me out now.
Yeah, I really miss Kristen's like shrug. Like this was a season where she just shrugged all the time, like consistently throughout. And like, it's just like, whatever. And now we're in like boom era Kristen Doty, where and all the cast has really, they've adopted that word.
What word?
Boom.
Oh, like boom, motherfucker, boom.
Yeah, she did in the reunion. Have you noticed that? I was watching the Vanderpump Rules after show just to try and like squeeze the last drops out of this like horrific season. But then I noticed that like there's one point where Stassi's like, boom, and they're all obsessed with booming.
I feel like they pick up their phrases. They're like 5 years later, 10 years later sort of people.
Yeah, they're really behind the curve in that sense.
And they, I mean, when Kristen yelled boom in the reunion, I just didn't. I mean, they needed to turn her mic off at that point.
Yeah,
I forget what it was even about. It was something about James, clearly, but she did some sort of like weird like shark clap, like, or alligator. It looked like, I don't know.
Yeah,
like
the boom often is accompanied by like an awkward clap of some sort, and it's like
with her arms and her elbows not really bending. I don't know.
Yeah, she's very like in Chicago when they do like the Roxy Hart like puppet number.
I have
do you
no
know
idea.
That one?
No,
when like Billy Flynn gets Roxy and he has her on his knee and he's like, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, we both, oh yes, we both. That's Kristen Doty is like that puppet. Like, she has the movements of puppet Roxy Hart.
Her limbs, just don't seem to cooperate with her. Like, even when she's in this episode near the end and she's like trampling down the steps after James, like, I just don't even, it, she doesn't look like everything's attached.
Yeah, she's like Pinocchio.
But I really, but that's what I like about her, is mm-hmm. she's not really that polished.
She's a loose fucking cannon.
I know. I miss it. But yeah, I just, the way they all look is very fun to see, because it just, everything seems so much older, and it wasn't that long ago. Season 3 came out in 2014.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's like 5 years ago, and it looked like entirely different people, and Sheena's makeup and the whole thing and her hair, and I don't, and Stassi, business Stassi, she doesn't have a job.
Literally jobless.
But dressed for business more than usual.
Mm-hmm. I think I took more notes on this episode than any episode in season 7.
Nice. Well, because there's just more each scene.
It's just right? So much to really like bite into. Mm-hmm. So it begins with a season 2 throwback of the most iconic season of all time. And you really realize, like, wow, these people are living the most fucked up lives
they've lived.
Yeah. How did we have it this good?
And how are they going to come back from that?
Yeah.
Like, when you, I remember when I first saw season 3, I'm like, what could they possibly do? These people are not going to be friends anymore.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I was like, it's over for them. Like, they will never speak again. But lo and behold,
they really move on quicker than anybody on earth.
They love to forgive and forget.
Love it.
About every single thing in their lives.
Do you think that's because of the show? Do you think the show is the glue for them? Do you think they would still be friends without it?
Because
it's insane, yeah, the things that they move on
I
from.
Think the show was the glue, especially in the bridge of this season, because like, if there was no show, there would be, I mean, maybe Jax and Sandoval would have eventually become friendly again because they worked together,
right?
But like, Stassi left,
right?
She moved away and then is back by the time this season starts. But like, yeah, like, she had no reason to hang out with anyone. And the only, the way that she's right. folded in from a storyline perspective is like, you have to make it right with Lisa and like, figure out how you're going to be part of this world.
Yeah. I tend to think that Katie and Tom are only, I used to think they were just still together because of their friend group, but I think the friend group is still together because of the show. So I think Katie and Tom probably would have never gotten married without the show. They seem kind of destined for each other in a fucked up way, but I just can't imagine what would you have to live? There would be no incentive. They yeah. just hate each other, at least in the earlier seasons and mm-hmm. right before the wedding.
Yeah. And I guess like, the show does incentivize like, oh, you get a lot of attention if mm-hmm. you like get married and you can get more money mm-hmm. or like, I guess just attention and like a wedding by a train track. Like, I don't really know.
I know. I like to think that they like, I, what I love about the show is that they are all friends.
Yeah.
And they were all friends and worked together before the show started. But mm-hmm. sometimes I wonder if it still would have, in a normal life, a parallel universe, they would have still been friends. But it doesn't matter. I mean, because they still are. So.
Yeah. And I feel like the older they get, and like, the more kind of money and choice they can make about their lives, like, the less these friendships, like, they won't stick around as much.
Yeah. I see them breaking apart at some point, especially we'll see after the show ends.
Yeah.
Or depending, I think there should be a sexy, unique Housewives.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that would be amazing.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that would, so maybe, hey, shit, maybe we'll have them forever.
Vanderpump Housewives.
Yes. And then they start interacting with
they
the
should
other
get upgraded.
Housewives.
Like, Lala should be upgraded to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. That yeah. would make a lot of drama.
Oh,
and I
shit.
Also think, but
awesome.
I don't know if she would ever do that, because I don't know if she would betray Lisa in that way.
I don't know. God, I love thinking of her in the Housewives. And I mean, she's a beautiful girl, but she looks very expensive now, but her plastic surgery makes her look a lot older. And I think that she could fold into that pretty easily.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like there could be like a lot of like, whenever you introduce in a reality show like a younger, hotter mm-hmm. woman, it just mm-hmm. always breeds like nothing but conflict.
And what if she kind of goes against Lisa and gets, well, I mean, Lisa's not going to be on it anymore, I guess. But if Lisa were still on it, she kind of corrals people against Lisa and she becomes the new Lisa. Holy shit. And then she opens her own restaurants and stuff.
Yeah. Oh.
She could and really, has her own shows.
Yeah. She could really make things happen for herself.
Oh, Lala.
Yeah. So the season two kind of recap that we get, Sheena's getting married and engaged. Jax and Kristen had sex. And it's just like, what a season.
I know. It was awesome.
And we open on Jax in his old studio apartment in Koreatown, just like working out with a rope, with like a rubber resistance band, doing his push-ups. And he's
back on top.
He's back on top, but he is more stuffed up and congested than ever.
He's very congested. He's having trouble breathing.
Yeah. He's like a pug. Mm-hmm. Like, he's bloated as all hell. And like every like talking head moment he does sounds like this.
Yeah. It's bad. It's bad. And I was never attracted to Jax, mostly because of his personality, but I recognize that he's objectively attractive. Mm-hmm. But I do not like him all roidy and bloated. I don't like that kind of look. It weirds me out.
No, this was when he looks-wise hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
It was like this entire season.
This is coke roid moment. Yeah,
he was like a creature from the Black Lagoon. Like, he fully crawled out of the swamp.
He was gross, yeah.
He also says, I said goodbye to the old Jax and I'm a completely different person now. Which is how he starts off season three of Vanderpump Rules, which is incredible.
I can't. He always thinks that he's turning over some new leaf, but does he really think that, or does he just say it for the show? But he is and always will be the exact same. And he doesn't take him very long to start fucking up.
No.
Again.
Immediately. He's like in a fucked up predicament.
Yeah.
Like, he's dating two women. They know about each other. That's like messy from
but
the jump. He's new. He has literally destroyed his nose with cocaine.
Destroyed it.
To the point where he can only mouth breathe. Yet he's turned over a new leaf.
He's turned over
Say goodbye to the old Jax. I'm a completely different person now.
He's a good person now.
Dodi is dating James. And she's very, like, so excited to have a young British DJ for a boyfriend.
Yeah, she's, God, it is really weird. I've seen these episodes, or I've gone through Vanderpump Rules maybe like three times in total and watched over again. But I think with the amount of hatred towards James in general now, it's a wild trip to go back and see Dodi so excited about just him being there, and he's barely even said anything. We've barely seen him yet.
You know he's trouble. From the moment you set eyes on him, you know that he's nothing but trouble.
He looks like he kind of looks like a blonde James Dean sort of person. Yeah. Maybe it's just the chin or the jawline.
He's
I don't know.
Very chiseled. He grew into his like British good looks, which takes a while.
Yeah, it can.
It's like you go when you're like a British guy from being like looking like a gecko to then looking like really, really hot.
Yeah,
it's a bizarre progression.
He's good looking.
Yeah.
But she is... I mean, how old is Dodi in season four?
Season four, I think she's like 30.
Okay.
So she's like 34 or 30. No, she's like 36 now. So maybe she was like 31 or 32.
So I guess it's her way of bouncing back and showing that she still got it.
Yeah.
Dodi got her groove back by having James.
I am just trying to like imagine myself dating a 24-year-old. And A, it's shocking that 10 years younger than me is 24, because I still feel 24 in a lot of ways. But then I'm also just like, lol, like, what would that even be? It would be James.
Well, my fiance is 7 years younger than me.
Oh, so amazing. I can tell you.
Dodi. Yeah. My life just naturally Dodied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet?
We met at a coffee shop.
Okay.
Just an organic meeting. We both lived in Cleveland at the time, and I was working from the coffee shop on my laptop, and he came in after work, and we got along. We started talking, and then...
Oh, my God. A real meet cute.
A
Midwestern meet cute.
A Midwestern meet cute.
That's the only place where you can actually organically meet someone is in the Midwest.
Is Yeah. And people do online dating and stuff. And I had done it on and off for years. I was really happy that, and I'm not against it, but I was happy that I just ended up meeting someone. But I've, you know, my boyfriend before him was 27. And how old was I? He was maybe like 5 or 6 years younger. So as much as I make fun of Kristen, I think I've
you love a younger man.
I love a younger man.
What does a younger man bring into your life that someone who is your age or older couldn't deliver on?
I guess maybe it's sense of humor and that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, because Zach isn't really, he's a medical resident. So when I met him, he was still in med school.
He's a doctor, going to be a doctor. I see where this is going now. I love this. Okay, good. All right, problem solved. I was like, I wonder if I dig a little bit deeper. Oh, you're dating a doctor. That's smart. You hook them while they're in med school, going through residency, and you're like, I'm here for you, babe. Like,
yeah. You just make sure that they know that you're there for them,
yeah,
and that they fucking remember who was there before they were actually making that money.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay, great. This is my incentive to now date exclusive. Like, next time I go to UCLA Medical Center, I have my eyes set on residents only.
Seriously. And they, even though he's younger, you know, they, and I like to party, and I could probably like do it more than he can, even 7 years older, but he was way past the like frat style of partying.
Yeah.
So if you get someone younger, but they're a focused younger.
Yeah. That's then you where get the money
the
is.
The benefits, yeah, of an older person and then the benefits of a younger.
So he's like maybe young, but sounds like a, maybe an old soul.
In a lot of ways, yeah.
Okay. I love that.
And I'm
but still
immature.
The spunk of a younger.
Spunk of a younger, a, yeah, younger man. He's now 30. He just turned 30. So
okay.
The joke is that, because I'm 37, the joke is he's legit now. Mm-hmm. Like it's happened.
Yeah. You're both in the same decade where age no longer matters. Matters after you turn 30.
Because I met him when he was 26.
Okay, love that.
Sounds very young.
Yeah, that does sound young. I dated younger, like, for a while, but it was only, like a couple years younger. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't really dated, like, a super, like, a much younger person.
Yeah, we like age gaps in my family. There's a 10-year between my mom and dad,
okay,
but my dad was older.
Okay.
So I knew it wouldn't be an issue. It was one thing that my family really doesn't, I mean, they don't judge. That's not the thing where they're going to be like, oh, watch out.
Well, yeah. And also it's like it's not like you're bringing home James Kennedy and being like, mom and dad, what do you think? He's a DJ.
I'm an international DJ. He's 24.
Like, I've toured with the great Paul Oakenfold at fucking party all day. Your parents are like, we're killing ourselves.
Beamer.
Yeah. Tom and Ariana are dating. They have a wild connection. And this was the iconic line that Ariana's said about Tom, where she's like, it's not really like we started dating, we just kind of stopped not dating.
I like that line, and I think it's probably true, but it is a subtle fuck you to Kristen.
Oh,
for
yeah,
sure. Not really that
shitty.
Subtle. Yeah,
not super subtle, just like a fuck you Dodie.
Like, maybe we didn't cheat or he didn't cheat. I think they did.
I
it
think
doesn't
they
really
did.
Matter.
We'll never know.
They'll never
Dodie
say.
Thinks they did still. I stand with Dodie on that.
Dodie, as crazy as she is, it's sort of like Jax. She's usually right.
Mm-hmm.
With the things that she thinks are going on, she's usually right. And same as Jax.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see, because I think Tom and Ariana at this point in the show have already decided, like, I think they know what's coming as far as the Miami girl accusations. And they are standing in solidarity of just having, like, a zero reaction to any of it.
I think
a deny, and then Ariana's facial expression never changes when it's brought up.
I think their total solidarity is what tips us off to the fact that he did it and they know.
Yeah.
Because it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard you talk about that before. You are a believer that he fucked a girl in Miami. I am too.
I just don't see... I mean, you could make the argument that, like, Anne-Marie was fame hungry and, like, wanted to get on the show, but
her face
it's also
like it.
Yeah, but, like, it's also like, okay, well, you live in Miami, like, there's no, you're not going to be on the show. So there's no real incentive for her. There's no real incentive if some guy on a reality show fucked you to then come out of the woodwork and be like, we fucking had sex. Like, what the fuck? And
we
like,
had sex.
And then
we
being like, no, you didn't. Like, you, and just being like, no, we had sex. Like, you definitely fucked each other if yes. a girl is saying that. Like, I'm sorry. There's no. Like, there's no other explanation.
I agree with you, and I disagree with Andy Cohen. Not Andy Cohen, sorry, on the maybe the third reunion for season seven, and Andy Cohen asks James, what does this one girl, what's her incentive for saying that she fucked you in Coachella? And he's like,
same,
stardom, you saw her? And I'm thinking, what the fuck? Like, she's getting nothing from that. Her life has not changed. If anything, it's worse now.
Yeah, it's definitely worse. Like, you don't want to identify yourself as that unless it's just about like getting a justice or yeah. like exposing someone.
It doesn't make, it's not a positive thing. No, I think there's total solidarity. Ariana and Tom shows that they knew. Ariana, for whatever reason, decided to get past it. And
well, I think it's like she just doesn't want that kind of attention and is yeah. guarded. And it's just like, I'm not going to even like court this as an option. And yeah, so it was just like true. A shutdown from the beginning.
It made her look very, very cool when I first saw this. And then looking back, I think it was a great idea, smart on their part to not have it be a part of it. But I think I didn't believe that he fucked Miami girl the first time around when I saw it. And then I began to believe it later. And now her behavior kind of shows me that it probably did happen.
Yeah. Now that we've like gotten to know her, mm-hmm. because she was so icy in those first few seasons, really up until like season six, mm-hmm. that you're just like, I can't get a read on this person. Like, yeah. I think that she's smart and cool and whatever, but like, I don't know, like, I don't like know her character in terms of the show.
I don't either.
But now we know more. And I'm like, I've got your number. You were totally, you yeah. were icing out that storyline. Yeah. A pro move.
She produced, man.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
I was just going to piggyback off of this conversation about like, I don't think women lie about fucking a guy, but I do think guys lie all the time about fucking girls.
Yes. Agreed.
And like, that's part of why I think that
yeah.
Miami girl wasn't lying.
And it's the whole double standard slut shaming kind of thing. Like women, we shouldn't be ashamed of who we sleep with, but because of us more likely being called sluts, why would we want to confront someone and say, I had sex with you, and have them say no?
Yeah. When guys are just like, yeah, she sucked my dick. And it's yeah. like, we literally like... shook hands one time. It's like Moby being like, no, the poor man I dated. And she's like, you're a fucking creep. It's like, that's
he is
classic.
Creeping.
Yeah. Bald idiot.
Wow. You really hate Moby.
I don't like Moby. I don't know why. I just have never, like, there was one night when I was in high school where I like partied with a bunch of friends and his one album that was like the hugest album
yeah,
ever.
I'm trying to even remember a song. I
yeah,
know
it's
it.
Like they all sound kind of the same, but it was like huge and it was everywhere. And someone put that CD on and then it was on loop for the rest of the night. And that burned Moby. I think I was like on a bunch of blow and just like, or maybe like tripping or maybe both. But yeah. I was just like, I never want to listen to this album again. And from that day forward, I was just like, I've taken a stand against Moby. And yeah. then his like shenanigans of this book, I'm like, literally no one asked you and no one gives a flying fuck.
He wrote a book.
Who you dated. Yeah. He wrote a book where he's like.
Like a tell-all?
I guess. I don't know. All I see is stupid. Press about like women that he's like saying that he had relationships Ew. With. And Natalie Portman was one of them. And she literally was like, no, we didn't.
Ew.
And then he was like, yes, we did. And then he wised up and then later was like, sorry.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just like, Moby, hard pass.
Ew, yeah.
Good night and good
John
luck.
Mayer also is one who talks about his conquests and whatever the guy from Limp Fucking Bizkit, Fred Durst.
Oh, yeah, Fred Durst.
They all look like assholes doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, leave Mayer out of this, please, but agree on all other counts.
So you love Mayer?
Love Mayer. Are you kidding? Really? Yeah. My king.
Really? What's yeah. your favorite Mayer song?
Well, I don't love his music so much as I love what he does with Dead & Company.
Oh.
Because he plays with Grateful Dead now.
So he does.
Yeah. He like took over Jerry Garcia's part in that band, essentially.
What?
And so now they're like touring together. They're about to start their summer tour, and I'm going to go to some shows next week at the Hollywood Bowl.
Holy shit. Okay. Yeah. That, I mean, he's a fantastic guitarist.
Yeah. Oh my God. He's an incredible musician.
I think it's just his persona, but that I hate. But Dead, I've gone to Rat Dog and a Phil-ish concert also.
So you know. And, yeah. You know what the deal is.
I love the Dead, but I didn't know, like, I saw the spinoff bands from the other members, but I didn't know there was like a Dead & Company.
Oh, there is a Dead & Company, and they are out and about. The music is incredible. Highly, highly recommend to anyone. If they come to your area, you should definitely go to a show. Yeah. It's magical. And he is on fucking fire in those shows.
Holy shit.
Yeah, right. It's great. It's like a total...
You gotta go and be a Band-Aid.
I know. Well, I mean, I try and go every tour that they do to at least like a couple shows. There was one a couple years ago where I went to like 5 shows in a row, like all the California, like West Coast, and a show in Phoenix, but...
I've never done that. I've been to great shows, but I've never followed a band, and I kind of wish that I would have done that at some point. I guess I still could.
I know. It would be really fun to like fully go on the road. Maybe one of these days I'll do a pod from the road, like a Grateful Dead or Dead & Co. road pod.
You should.
That would be good. Yeah.
All right. Nice. You have to invite me. I'll pay. No, I won't pay.
I'm like patrons. Start your engines. Yeah. Sheena has a tattoo. It's all happening for her. Speaking of John Mayer connections. And
she ruined that phrase that movie for me. Yeah. Well, the movie.
Well, now I only associate it with Sheena Shea.
Only with Sheena. And the movie itself and the soundtrack are so incredible. And now that I have this cheese factor involved, because I love Sheena, but for a different reason.
Yeah.
So combining them in my head, it actually prevents me from like going and watching it again. And yeah. That sucks.
Sheena's not like a rocker. You know what I mean?
No.
But like they all kind of fancy themselves as like blue jean babies, LA ladies. And like, I love their perception
of themselves
in that context. And I'm kind of here to support that, because there's definitely like, I relate on some levels, but I'm also like, this is like it's an embarrassing white girl thing that we do sometimes.
Yeah.
And get like really like a Band-Aid, like almost famous. I definitely do it on like a Dead & Co level to some extent. Like, you know, but I'm just like, would I get that tattooed on my arm? Absolutely.
Probably not.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I had a hippie phase in college and in my 20s still. And I still kind of have a little bit of that in me in terms of the music and some of the ways I dress and stuff. But like, I don't know, thinking of Kristen and her thinking of herself that way, she's just so manic that like I can't align it with this sort of like free spirited. It's very weird. Just picturing herself that way makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think there is like some sort of cognitive dissonance between Kristen, like her self image and how she actually is.
Yeah,
which is amazing to think about.
Yeah, I don't think she really
gets
it. She
sees herself as like peace, love, rock and roll.
And a social justice warrior.
Yeah. And like later on in this episode, they're like making fun of her tweet where she's like, if I had to describe myself in one word, it would be loyal, like rock and roll. And it's like, literally, you fucked your best friend's boyfriend. So
the
like,
one word
I would
you shouldn't use to describe
use that
yourself.
Exact word, but like, rock on, sister. Like, I don't know what to make of it.
I think she just has the perfect delusion of herself, and I'm here for it. I like it. I think that's how she keeps going. How else would she?
That's why she makes great TV. Sheena is like kind of recapping what's going on in the group, and she's like, everyone, Stassi's moved away, and now everyone seems a lot happier, except Katie. And that's when you realize, wow, Katie's been kind of a miserable bitch this entire time.
Yeah. I never liked Katie. How did you, in the beginning, did you like her? I found her boring at first, and then I thought of her as a monster, and now she's a boring monster.
Yeah. At first I did. I liked her because I was like, who's this like pretty mysterious girl? Like she was just like.
With the hair.
Yeah. But it was pre-orange hair. Oh, like right. First season I was just like, I'm intrigued. And then there was orange hair and I was like, what in the world? Like I couldn't have an opinion because I was so blinded by that hair.
It's distracting.
Then in this season, I think it was like this season and season four, I was still giving her a lot of like the benefit of the doubt. And she did come for Stassi later in this season. And I don't think I really turned on her until like season four into five, where it was like, oh, you are a nightmare person, at least on the screen.
I could take her better in the beginning. And I think maybe the power shift is what made her more of a monster, because ever since she essentially had to let Stassi back into the group and it was up to her, mm-hmm. she like cemented herself fucking like Game of Thrones style in terms of Stassi blew up in her own way and mm-hmm. is still imperative to, I don't think the show would be the same without her, lover or hater, but she has never been like the queen again.
Yeah.
And Katie had all the power, and I don't know where she got that. Does Lisa back her up in something? Does she have secrets on Lisa? I just am very curious about why Katie developed so much power and seems to be able to get away with whatever with Lisa. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I think that Lisa has a real soft spot for her, given the fact that she had like a horrific, like almost life-ending accident.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean someone should, you know?
I know, but I think that maybe like deeply affected her more than any of us will ever know. Yeah. I think that's kind of where you have to like give her a break, which doesn't feel fair because she has never shared truly, like we've only seen glimmers and glimpses of like, oh, she fell through a skylight. It's kind of been presented as like, this, what a crazy thing about my past. But it's like, I mean, she fell through a skylight and it caused like brain damage. Like that's like, she almost died. Like that's a pretty big deal. And I think that's just where you have to be like, we're dealing with a person that is just like, they're not maybe all there anymore.
Oh my God. What if when Katie dies and they do an autopsy?
She has like CTE. Yeah.
If Katie has CTE, then I would love that. And then I would just,
I would love that.
I would love that, but then it would also have everything make sense to me. And then I would feel more compassion towards her.
I mean, that could be, I'm trying my best to like come from a more compassionate
you
place.
You are. And why? Don't you hate Katie? I've heard you say you hate her.
I do, but it's like, I feel bad taking that stance. It's starting to make me feel bad. And so I'm really trying to like get some sort of compassion and like parse through what my feelings are. Because I truly believe whoever you hate most on Vanderpump Rules is
reflects
like,
yourself.
Yeah, it's just like something you hate about yourself, which I don't see a lot of myself in Katie or a lot of Katie in me. So that's like something else like I might need to explore with a therapist because I haven't had time or taken the time to really explore that. But I'm just like, okay, maybe you need to have empathy for people who just like aren't as smart as you are.
Yeah.
And like just be like treat them with like grace. Anyways,
it's very, very zen of you. Although Katie doesn't give anyone a second chance to do anything except for Tom.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. But unless you have a private jet and then she's just your BFF.
Right.
Sheena has an epic troll of Katie where she comes up to her, invites her to her birthday, but then she goes, I want you to come, but I don't think they serve tequila there. And I love it when Sheena trolls.
I know. I like her. So Sheena's a Taurus,
mm-hmm.
as am I.
Okay, so you relate.
I relate to some of the things that she does in the sense of like her passive aggressiveness,
mm-hmm.
Which is something I don't like about myself, but I definitely can be that way. And also her ability to like fake herself out about her own life and her ability to like think things are okay when they're not.
Yeah.
And project that onto the entire world. I love that.
Yeah.
Those are qualities of mine. But I like when she does her little, you know, cause she just doesn't have a lot of power. And so she just does it in her little teeny tiny Sheena ways and they're funny.
Yeah. It's really endearing. Like, I think there is a point where I used to be like so annoyed by it, but now I just find it to be hysterical. Cause I think she's also someone that gets so much power from like external things.
Oh yeah.
And so this is like, you know, she's engaged. Her wedding is right around the corner. Like, she's on fucking cloud nine. So she feels really empowered to like sass Katie by the cash register. And it's like, I live for like a sassy Sheena Shea.
And she's pretty, I mean, I think she's a bit vapid, or at least how she seems on screen. I don't know how much depth there is to her. And she is a little bit more like a character than a real person. And I also was becoming annoyed with her in the later seasons. And now I'm just like, oh my God, if it weren't for that fucking penguin, this season would have been nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, she delivers, man.
She worked hard to bring the lols for us via that penguin.
She worked hard. And they are still working at Sir at this point, I believe. Do you think?
Sheena?
Yeah, like for season 3.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're definitely they are that's where their jobs are.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
for sure. She also is like, Sheena loves birthday drama because she's like inviting all the enemies to her birthday.
She gets so mad that shit always happens at her birthday parties or her events, but she always invites everyone. Yeah,
she manifests it. She's a real manifester in that way. Pump Lounge is about to open, in quote, the epicenter of the gay community. And it's so weird and jarring to see like that process happening again.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you been? I'm sure you've been.
Oh, yeah.
I've been
to Pump. Yeah. Multiple times. More times than I care to admit.
I like Pump.
Yeah. It's fine.
That's where I met Ken.
Oh, yeah. That's where I've met Ken, too.
And Lisa. And the guy who does she. Do you watch Beverly Hills?
Yeah. Kevin Lee.
Yes.
Okay. Kevin Lee was amazing. There. Did you get a pic with Kevin Lee?
No, unfortunately, but we did get a picture with Ken, and with Lisa was incredibly gracious. Like, she was really, really nice. And we got a picture with her, and then her friend started taking a video of us, like grabbed my phone. It was a moment. I liked it.
Jax and Sandoval are friends again. Because they just started working together and then like slowly started talking about work related stuff. And then now are just like, whatever, we're friends.
I mean, that just doesn't make sense to me. But, you know, Jax did him a favor.
Yeah, definitely did him a favor. Jax also is peak Jax this season, where it's like, he's coked out of his mind. He's bloated.
Yep.
And like, he's wearing his shirt unbuttoned down to like his sternum with
and
a loose bow tie.
Popping,
the buttons
basically
are popping. He's like literally hulking out of his own clothes. It's incredible.
Yeah. He's real fucked up this season, but you know, he's got all his friends back. I mean, he's back on top. His life is better. He's different.
He's different.
He's a new
Say
man.
Goodbye to the old Jax. It's a whole new me. Kristen stops Sheena by the refrigerator to let her know that she has some tricks up her sleeve.
Oh my God.
And Kristen has just been digging around. She uncovered Tom Sandoval and Miami Girls dalliance, and things are really cooking.
Kristen's smile.
Mm-hmm.
She can't help herself. And this is Sheena's best friend she's talking about, like Ariana.
Yeah.
And
which
she,
is so
the
weird.
The smile just keeps like creeping up while she's trying to talk, and it just makes me realize that this is her lifeblood.
Yeah,
doing this kind of thing, like she needs it.
But it's also like one of those things, like I feel like the older you get, you don't do this kind of stuff because you realize how much it like hurts you as a person. Like,
oh yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, you could break up with someone and then go look at their Twitter and Instagram for hours and be like, what a fucking idiot, like blah blah blah, and just like look over and over. But where does that get you ultimately? That just like makes you feel bad.
I think Kristen needs to feel bad. I think that's her her like comfort zone. She can't like she's compulsive about it. Mm-hmm. I don't think she can, I think, yes, she could probably stop with outside help, but I think that she just is obsessive and she can't really stop herself. And it's really kind of fucked up to watch. And I would never even think of doing the stuff that she's doing. And I was wondering if it was just like part of the, like they want her to for the show, but the more I get to know her, I think that it really was just her doing it.
Yeah. And I think that the show, the producers probably encourage it because right. It's great TV, but that's where it's like ethically really ambiguous because yes. It's like, this is a person, and Stassi really sums it up nicely later on in the episode where she's like, when I was younger, I used to think Kristen was really edgy because she would do all these like hardcore self-destructive yeah. things. And now I realize it's like just lame and weird. Yep. And it's like,
Kristen's yeah. too old to be acting self-destructive in this way. It yeah. is kind of weird to watch her in her like early 30s or something or late 20s doing it. And she just doesn't, it will only serve to make you feel bad. And then it'll cause someone like her to then be more self-destructive because she feels bad. Mm-hmm. And so that will make someone like her get totally hammered and get real fucked up. And I do think that the show, in terms of addiction and how much the people abuse whatever drugs or whatever they're doing, I do think it gets kind of unethical, especially in season 7 with Kristen when they were on a trip doing that wine tour.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, it was hilarious, but that was sad though. I mean, I was watching it with Zach and he was just like, my God, she's an alcoholic, you mm-hmm. know, and I'm not here to diagnose anyone, but like it just between her and James, it seems like, and Tom Schwartz, they most likely have like the worst issues with this stuff. And I don't know what the show would be without it. And then they kind of push them into these situations. It's just, I don't know. It's real. I don't know how the producers really sleep that well at night. I mean, it's good for me, but then I'm part of the problem too, right?
Yeah. It's just weird when you predicate a show on people being just like messes, mm-hmm. then they deliver the goods on that, but then yep. they want to grow out of that. As a producer, you're probably friendly with them after working together for a long time. Yeah. So you go along with it. But then like the audience is like, what the fuck? Like, this is not entertaining. Like, I'm not watching like the Sweetheart Friends Hour. Like, I'm watching Vanderpump fucking Rules. Like,
I know.
So
I like dark stuff though. And I like watching yeah. people get real fucked up and do fucked up stuff. So this is my like, bread and butter.
That's why I tuned in. Like,
but, yeah.
yeah.
And so like, I enjoy it, but I just kind of, I do wonder like what.
It makes me sad for them. But as a viewer, like, I don't want to watch, like, I don't want to watch you just like boringly working on your t-shirt line. Ugh. Like, that's not.
No,
giving me anything. Like, by all means, go do that and like live, laugh, love, yeah. make a t-shirt or yeah. two. But like, that's why I just think it's like has to be new blood. And it's unfortunate that they participate in a entertainment sphere that is like pushed them to be as messy as possible. And then once they're healthy, it's like, we don't really need you anymore. But that is what the show is. And that's mm-hmm. like kind of what they signed up for when they signed up to do it. And so like, if they are get recast eventually, or there's new blood, that's just showbiz, especially in this form, in this specific form of like entertainment.
I agree. I think that they have to keep being messy. And so like someone like Lala, who just recently stop drinking, I'm very curious about how her interactions with the show are going to be, because she's the first one to actually do that. Mm-hmm. Whereas, frankly, all of them should probably stop. I love yeah. when they start judging each other about their use mm-hmm. or like abuse of stuff. I'm like, none of you can fucking talk.
Which like, this was like really the first reunion episode, aside from like the reunion from this season 3 where everyone's like, yeah, Jax, your deviated septum, and they all like right. allude to it being from blow. But like the season 7 reunion was the first time that everyone, like, people are openly talking about substance abuse. But like, I wonder, I think also like a lot of them, they're like puppies, like they need some sort of person or thing to like follow and like mm-hmm. tell them like what's right or like show them the way. And a lot of times that's been Lisa because she like gave them an opportunity for the show, blah, blah, blah. But now that Lala is really, I think, the one with the most power and the most access, they seem to all be kind of following suit, like following her lead, which is like, you know, Stassi's like, I quit Adderall, like blah, blah, blah. Like, but that's kind of, I think, with her relationship with Bo. And obviously that drug and abusing that drug makes you a full blown psychotic beast. But like, I feel like we'll be seeing a lot more people taking breaks from alcohol and drinking because Lala's kind of done that. And she is like the chicest person on the show right now.
Yeah, they probably will. And as much as, you know, like the kind part of me wants people to be healthy, like I hope they don't stay sober too long. Mm-hmm. But they, I did think it was kind of shitty, actually. And I think Tom Sandoval is, he's probably the nicest person to James, but calling him out for what, you know, was probably coke, I'm guessing. I thought that was kind of shitty. I felt just entirely felt bad for James during this reunion. I know we're going back to that and we should be on three, but it was horrible to watch.
Yeah, I felt bad for him too, but I also was like, I don't think Sandoval was coming from like a shady place. I think it was trying to be like, give like positive feedback, which is just also insane that like your positive feedback for someone would be like,
it's not beer.
Yeah,
I think the other stuff.
You can drink probably as much as you want, but it's really when you mix coke with it where it like becomes a problem. But like, I don't know. It's the thing is like everyone has their own levels of ability to engage with drugs and alcohol. And like some people just cannot handle it. And then some people are like can party and wake up the next day and go to work. And it's truly not a problem.
Yeah. I find that part fascinating. And the addiction part and whatever they're all going through, just for, you know, I mean, I'm Irish Catholic, and so half of my family's in AA.
Yeah.
And I recently quit marijuana. And so I get the self-destructiveness and the ability to, you know, to kind of like lose yourself and become reliant on something. And so it's certainly no judgment on them. And I have no idea what they can handle and what they can't, but just seeing people live their lives and need that as a part of it in order to keep this money machine going is just kind of fascinating to me. And I would never be able to handle it. I'd probably dotey out, man. I don't know if I'd do the same things as her, but I would not be controlling myself.
Pretty crazy, I think.
I would be fucked up.
Like, I just wouldn't be able to, like...
No way.
I mean, in this world, on this show, I don't know. It's like, it's a lot.
It's a sport.
It's a sport, yeah. But you're either drinking, like, heavily, or you're pretty much, like, not invited to the party.
And they're, like, in season three, it's just Jack and Cokes everywhere. It makes me want to fucking vomit. Sugary. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
The best, too, is when Kristen and James meet Sheena and Shay at that Rainbow Bar and Grill. And, like, they're like, what do you want? Like, and Jack Sheena and goes, Cox. I just want to, like, Jack and Coke. I just need something really light before dinner. And it's, like, incredible.
That's not... I mean, I think I drank those. That was when I was trying to hide the fact that I had a drink with alcohol in it. That's the only time I ever drank something with Coke, was like at a family function when I'm in high school and I have my cousin make it for me. So they think I'm drinking Coke.
Yeah. I like
who the fuck gets that?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. I feel like the last time I had a Jack and Coke was when I had Kristen on Pumped podcast and like got a bottle of Jack and then matched her drink for drink and then like almost passed out.
I have to hear about your experiences on Pumped. I listened to one episode.
Yeah, I'm going to republish some of them. I haven't decided where, like probably like on my website, which is forthcoming, but they're going to come back in a way.
Oh my God.
I just haven't made that decision like where and when yet.
Yeah.
But fear not, like they will be back.
I mean, as a super fan, I went and looked for one of them because I think you talked about it on this podcast and you talked about how the other one had broken up and like how the Witches of WeHo were like coming for you. And I listened to a portion of it and then I did just have to turn it off because I could not. Katie's arguments don't make sense to me, and listening to her like speak in a circular fashion, I just could only do it for like 10 minutes.
No, it's a conversation that goes nowhere. It's like fighting with a brick wall or something. Like there just is like no point.
You can't even respond.
No, and that's like why in that episode I was just like, oh, the only way to move forward and like just end this is to just be like, yep, I'm sorry. Yep, you're right. I'm sorry. And then you just like move on because there's no point.
It's insane.
I'm going to like fight with like a doorknob.
Yeah.
Like, that gets me nowhere. They just, it's just over.
And that's how they fight on the show, is they just yell and say shit until the only way you can get it to stop. It's like you like basically say uncle.
Yeah.
You're like,
and then
it.
If you have a united force, it's like you can't really make up your own argument that's like sound, and you're not confident enough in your own argument to really take a stand unless you have people flanking you that support right. the exact same thing, and you can like fire it up, and that's the way you feel most comfortable confronting someone. It's just like, okay, well, you're never going to get like a really progressive or like interesting conversation where you really iron out a problem. Like,
it's not a dialogue.
No, you're just going to beat someone down until they agree with you, which is not exactly, it's not a dialogue.
They don't, that's a wild thing about the show also, I find, is like how they're so, they have all these moral high grounds, which is like crazy. And
yeah.
they're always, you know, saying, I can't believe you did this. How could you do this? But then also their inability to like have a relationship with or a dialogue with someone that doesn't agree with them.
Yeah.
That,
again,
it's wild.
The cognitive dissonance.
It's wild
run
to me.
Rampant.
Yeah. Okay.
So Lisa has hired Schwartz to work at Pump, which we end
yes.
up seeing is his like anxiety attack. He works for like 2 hours.
Has he had a real job in his life? Because we've never seen him other than
he's done some modeling,
but other than that.
Yeah.
Not to say the modeling isn't a job, but like I haven't seen him go into even like an ice cream shop and like work for a day or anything.
No, I think that he was like a firm non-worker and would just get modeling jobs that would pay like a good chunk of money and then spend all of it until like the next job comes up. Like, it was very like things here and there, but nothing ever like long term.
He is the quintessential example of failing up,
yeah.
which I had never seen until I worked for the federal government, which I do still. And yeah, like kind of the worse you do, sometimes you'll end up getting promoted because a department doesn't want to deal with you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so these people end up failing up into these leadership roles. And I feel like that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, it's like a total thing. I've noticed that too with certain people where I'm just like, how are you doing this?
I know.
And like, that's just like how some people's lives work.
It just gets scary when they then are decision makers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get annoyed when they make more money than me, but then I become frightened when they're making decisions.
Yeah. It's fucked up, but that's life.
So there he is.
Sheena's budget Botox, I just have to give a shout out to, because like her one eyebrow is like really arched in her talking head moments, and like her ombre and smoky eyes, and like Botox is really working a number on me.
I love that you said that, because Tessa and Hillary, to my friends, they laugh at me because when I get Botox, I'll get it like maybe like, I don't know, twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
I group on that shit. And they're like, you can't do that. And I'm like, yes, I can. I don't see the difference. I'll do some back alley Botox. I'm fine with it. It's cheaper. And it's I mean, I'm playing with fire. I know that I am. But I don't get a lot. That's
yeah,
the thing.
Is I
do a
say,
little
like,
bit like on crow's feet. I'm not doing whatever they're doing. So,
yeah.
But still.
So you're probably okay. But then if something goes wrong, you really only have yourself to blame.
I know.
I mean, I'm not one to talk because I get Botox for free from my stepmom whenever I'm home in like Oklahoma City. And she could completely botch me if she wanted to.
Yeah.
And there's just nothing I could do about it. Yeah. So I'm like always kind of trying to stay in her good graces so
Absolutely.
That I don't get like, you know, one eye is like larger than the other,
yeah.
which is already my like life journey.
I want Zach to get licensed in it and he's refusing. And I just think that's a real selfish thing to do.
I know. You need to convince him to become like a plastic surgeon.
Well, anyone can do, not anyone, but I mean like dentists do Botox.
Yeah.
Like so he doesn't even need to go away from his life journey of being a pediatrician. He's a good
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, like love the kids, whatever. But
just
like,
do some Botox on the side.
Do Botox on your wife, for fuck's sake.
I mean, just love me.
Yeah.
Fine.
That's
whatever.
Divorce material, I'd say. I really miss Stassi's Toyota convertible.
I know. I love when she. I know.
I miss their old shitty cars and like their old faces and like old lifestyle.
I agree. I think season two Stassi was the best Stassi in terms of like looks and stuff. I loved her hair.
Yeah, I liked her like kind of more natural blonde.
But it her was face
so sick. Yeah,
in general, like, is just like very, they all, I just, yeah, I was nostalgic for Kristen's teeth. I think Katie looked great mm-hmm. with her super dark hair.
Yeah.
And her style wasn't like, it was never great, but it wasn't
shockingly like, horrible.
Whatever yet. Is mm-hmm. happening now. The Grateful Dead. Did you see that purple fucking suit?
I saw that. The I took a lot of umbrage with that. I'd love to know what her favorite Dead song is, what her favorite show, like if she's a fan of like 70s era, 80s mm-hmm. era, or 90s, like,
no.
Yeah, like who her favorite keyboard player was. Yeah.
She might not have a lot of questions
for her regarding Dead.
She didn't have the right to wear that, but I agree. I miss their faces. I miss, even Sandoval wasn't as... Like, he's a good looking guy, but he just wasn't as flamboyant in his like dressing and stuff now. And I don't know. I find it real unattractive now. I love him for it, but like I became less attracted to him the more crazy he got with his clothes.
Yeah. I kind of like gritty Sandoval. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to see like what they've done with their faces and bodies.
And Stassi's necklaces. What
the necklaces
fuck?
Were a real wild twist. Like when she was really into statement necklaces, I forgot about that era of Stassi Schroeder, but like the whole season three is just like one huge
all
statement
of them. She
necklace.
Has like six of them on just in this episode alone.
Yeah. There's a season, it might be in this one or like, I think it might be in this one because she and Patrick move into like a weird apartment and then has like a little like upstairs area and she's like, this is where I make my necklaces. And it was just like, oh my
or
God, like
where
she
a nursery
crafting.
Will go. Didn't she make a joke like that?
Yeah,
something?
There was a nursery, but then there was like a little landing area where it was like her necklace, like workshop. Robert, who owns Buca di Beppo and Mixology, comes to Pump to like give Lisa props on her like hideous restaurant, and he really loves it, so she feels great about it.
Yeah, she loves it. And she, you know, like Lisa always has to be talking about sex. It's just her thing. So he brings it up. He's like, can we have sex in this VIP? She's like, you can.
Yeah, she loves how sexy it is. And I love remembering that the trees that she had craned in were 100 years old. That's a power move. And that probably costs like $1 million.
Yeah, she, for those restaurants, they're so expensive. But like, I've only been to Sur and Pump, soon to be Tom Tom, which I've heard has a better interior. But those...
It's a Nickel Lane.
I could only describe them as like glamour trash. They felt like... Like cheap glamour.
Yeah.
So I could tell there was a lot of money spent in certain areas, but then also that like they were trying to get a once over on me in other areas. I didn't understand it.
Yeah. It's like when you get, it's like a movie set where like you see a pillar, but it's really like painted styrofoam.
Yes.
Which is like, and also I've never understood her aesthetic because it's the kind of interior decor that. It gets dirty really fast and like dingy really fast. Like true expensive doesn't get dirty or dingy that quickly. Or like it's easier to keep clean, so it seems. In my experience, my limited experience with luxe decor.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if I've had experience with
I just feel like
expensive stuff.
Like I would see, like I know what's expensive and not based
on... You
can tell. Yeah, you can tell.
So what about like the...
like Tom
the plates
Tom.
And stuff or like that kind of stuff, the glasses, do you think that those at the restaurants are super, do you think she's going to IKEA or do you think she's getting,
I don't know, I think you just get those from whatever like restaurant supply chain.
Oh, okay.
But like
okay.
I'm talking about more of like lighting fixtures and like mirrors and that kind of thing where it's like you'll see at Tom Tom, it's like there's such intricate like lighting fixtures above the bar that have like feathers on them. And it just seems really like in a high foot traffic zone where people are coming in and out and there's lots of food and drink.
Yeah.
Maybe like a feather in a vial was not the best choice. Like it just feels like it could take a turn towards really dusty and gross.
It was Nicolaine's vision.
Yeah. But you can't argue with the master.
You can't
you know
argue.
What I mean? James and Kristen meet Sheena and Shay and Kristen pays for James Jack and Coke. This is where Kristen just pays for everything for him.
I know. I remember that just when I see it, though. She really does. She loves to fucking pay. As much as she complains about that shit and it's her issue with Carter, like, I think she just loves that shit. Yeah. I think she loves to be, because it's her way of controlling.
Yeah. And so it feels really good to her. And it's like, then she has one up on someone.
Yeah.
Kristen, Sheen is like, so Kristen tells them that what she's discovered about Miami Girl. And it's so bizarre to see her with James, like her current boyfriend, obsessing over her ex in this way. And yeah. then he's also gotten really fired up because, yeah. like, I guess he now hates Sandoval because
right.
he and Sando were going to move in together. But then he and Kristen started fucking and like
in Sando's bed.
Yeah.
Right. Or in their bed.
Yeah. So now like it's like he's anti Sandoval because he probably feels jealous of him
yes.
because he knows, like, if you're dating someone and they can't stop talking about their ex, yes. chances are they love their ex still.
And eventually it becomes a problem in their relationship, right? With Kristen and James, like, eventually they start fighting about the fact that she's always talking about Sandoval. But at this point,
yeah,
I mean, this is the first episode we really hear more than like two words from James. So, mm-hmm. like, I guess it just, maybe he had to for the show, but he does seem pretty fired up and he seems super fucking excited to talk about the fact that this girl was on her period.
Yeah.
Like, he is chomping at the bit.
Well, they all love, like, they, that's like the most, the grossest, but also the biggest, most like on brand Vanderpump Rules moment is where it's like, not only did like, it's like, not only did Jax cheat on Brittany with Faith, but like, they fucked near like a dying woman.
Yeah.
Like, this is yeah. like, not only did Sandoval cheat on Ariana with right. Miami Girl,
but she was
like,
on the rag.
She was on the rag and he made her prove it and like
that's
went in the bathroom
part,
and then
the
was
twist.
Like, whatever, I'll do it anyways. And it's just like, oh my God, it's the little details that really give texture to this like beautiful fucked up world.
They're dirty.
Yeah.
That's why I like them. And
I love it.
They
have fucking crazy sex on this show. You know, these people have like the wildest, best,
I hope
craziest
so.
Sex.
Because
some
sex
of them,
is
I think.
The, like, you know, sex and who's having sex with who is what drives the show and gets them into the most arguments and all of that stuff. So like, it better be fucking good. But like, I don't see a ton of chemistry shown on screen with any of them. Like, I never saw any sexual chemistry between Kristen and Tom, but they were like almost near the end of their relationship. Between Ariana and Tom in the beginning, I see it.
Mm-hmm.
But like Stassi, I never see it with any, like, I think Stassi would be boring in bed. I think Kristen could be wild.
Kristen is definitely wild. Like, she's the one that will, like, you will have the time of your life in bed
yeah.
with Kristen.
She's got to be wild
because yeah. it's that, like, it's that crazy factor
yeah.
when people are just like truly out of their minds. They have no inhibitions in the bedroom,
yeah.
thus leading to a more satisfying sexual experience.
Yeah. Who would you want to sleep with?
It's hard to say at this point. I think
it really goes, it like changes all the time, right?
It changes all the time. I think like a threesome with Tom and Ariana would be where it's at for me at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm not positive Tom's into women.
Yeah. I think that he's just like kind of femme.
Or maybe he's just fluid. Maybe or just femme.
Yeah. yeah. But I could see him also being down for like a male-male-female threesome, which I
yeah.
really respect and love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. What about you?
I should have had an answer when I asked that question because I don't. God. Oh. I don't. It would have to be one of the women. I don't think any of the men are attractive.
Yeah.
At this point. Like, I did think so earlier in the early seasons. Sandoval was pretty good looking, and then like we learned more about him and his shaving the forehead stuff and it all started to turn me off.
Mm-hmm.
It would probably have to be Ariana.
Yeah.
If I had to pick someone, because I just, yeah, probably Ariana.
Mm-hmm. She has a sexy vibe. Lala could be really fun to sleep with.
Yeah, Lala too.
Yeah.
It would have to be one of the women, though. The men are just more and more becoming like ultimately disgusting to me.
Mm-hmm. I think Sandoval still has that special Sandoval spark.
He is special.
Yeah, he is a special blossom.
But I couldn't sleep with him. And I loved the idea that like Lala and Ariana hooked up and it's just so on brand that he wasn't a part of it at all.
Yeah, just them and they were like, drive us around. Yeah, it was really amazing. A power move for both of them, truly.
Oh, God.
Sheena starts crying when Kristen explains this to her, mm-hmm. which I love whenever Sheena makes it all about her. Mm-hmm. And then...
Especially with her eyelashes.
Oh, especially with the eyelashes, and she's just, like, upset. It's also weird to think that, like, yeah, this is someone telling you, like, something that would ruin your best friend's life, and then you're just, like, you're, like... reaction to it is like, I want to give Kristen the benefit of the doubt that she's not trying to be like evil. It's like, no, she literally is like out to sabotage.
She is. And I don't think Sheena understands that. I don't know if Kristen was ever like really great friends with her, but also I don't think Sheena, I'm sure she's sweet and like, but I don't think her friendships are particularly deep. Like, I don't think she's a ride or die kind of girl. So like, I can see her kind of waffling on that because yeah. she just wants everyone to be happy, mm-hmm. like no matter what. So then in order to do that, she's just going to end up creating more chaos. I don't know. I don't get her.
Yeah. I think I get her more now than ever, like going back and seeing like the way where it's just like how, like where she gets really upset is like that there's just like chaos and yeah. discord around her, and that exactly. upsets her because she does just want everyone to be happy.
I don't think she's truly affected. Like, oh, I didn't know it was this bad. Like, you know, this is happening with Ariana. I think it's just her reaction to like tension and mm-hmm. stuff.
Jax's deviated septum
makes an appearance
and has like a long arc on the season. This is the first time that we, or maybe it's not the first time that we meet Dr. Lakey. I can't remember if it is or not. It might be, but this Dr. Lakey comes into play a lot over the course of Vanderpump Rules from here on out. And one of the biggest stars of the show, in my humble opinion, is Dr. Lakey's receptionist.
Oh my God.
Who I just kind of feel
her
like.
Face. It looked like they put a mask on her. I didn't get it.
Yeah. Like I feel like if I opened a plastic surgery business, I would want to hire someone as like my front facing person
that looks
is a
great.
Reflection of my amazing work as a surgeon.
Yes.
And not
a botched.
Yeah. She's a really wild spirit, but I love her.
When I've went to get Botox or I got a chemical peel once, I do remember someone looking very weird.
Mm-hmm.
There's always kind of taking me around and I didn't like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's always like I think that's kind of the point of working at those places is that you get like free or like severely discounted procedures.
But they overdo it. And then they show, I think, okay, is this because they're overdoing it or is this because this person's work isn't good?
Yeah.
Then I'm unclear.
Yeah. Stassi says that she's back from a 6-month sojourn in New York and yes. where she was, quote, relearning what it's like to be happy, which is
bold-faced lie,
considering now we know that like yes. right before she moved back, Patrick had cheated on her and she discovered those text messages.
This made me look at this episode totally different. I love when we get those nuggets. I love it.
Yeah. I love a truth revealed because it's like, oh, this makes sense why Stassi was so like awful for a really long time post this and kind of like bratty is because it really is someone that's trying to put on a happy face like everything's fine when their life is truly in shambles yeah. and they're dating like the world's biggest douchebag.
Yeah, she came as business Stassi
mm-hmm.
and
she put a blazer on. She
threw a blazer on and a huge fucking bib necklace and tried to act happy.
And started her style blog and was just like in a new chapter of her life.
I gotta say though, and I'm super embarrassed and ashamed to admit this, but I thought Patrick was attractive when he first came in with the man bun.
Oh, wow. You were a Patrick fan.
I didn't know anything about him, but I thought he looked good, and now it just, you know.
Yeah, you just have to live with that for the rest of your life. Yeah. Sometimes a show reveals things to us that we're really not ready to see.
I know. He's just, I mean, he was, the way he spoke to her was just awful.
Yeah.
So when we started to see that, I mean, that made me uncomfortable. And also, she just wasn't able to be herself. It was weird. It was hard to watch. It must have been weird for her.
Yeah. So this is like Stassi in a prison of her own making that goes on for years after this, which is the shocking thing when you, especially when you go back in time and rewatch to realize like, oh my God, like, I want so badly for this person to break free.
Yeah.
But they have at least like 2 to 3 more years of like being in this cage.
And as much as they seem so, you know, Stassi can come across as so assertive and, you know, she scares other people because she's so intimidating. But it's those same people, like, you've got all that hidden, like, stuff underneath that sort of informs every decision you make. And it's sort of instinctive that, like, she's not what she's projecting out there. She's exactly the opposite. And then when you meet her family, especially the mom, then you start realizing like, oh my God, like Stassi almost didn't have a shot. I mean, it is up to her to make the change, but it doesn't shock me that her natural go-to decisions are to be with these awful dudes.
Yeah. And like, she really is like all bark, no true bite
at all.
And like used to have both bark and bite in like her and Jack's era, like season 1 and 2.
But she was still with Jax, who treated her like garbage.
Yeah. So like, and then got out of it. But then to get out of that relationship and then have Jax be acting crazy, being like, I want you back, but then also like fucking randoms and getting your name tattooed is very confusing. Then to find out that like your best friend fucked him is like also a real mind fuck.
Do you think we just I mean, I wonder sometimes really if we do attract that kind of stuff to us, because she's chaotic internally.
Yeah.
And so your external, I kind of believe your external reflects your internal, whatever energy you're putting out there kind of comes back to you. And it happens to all of them. The more chaotic they act or they seem to feel, the more fucked up shit happens to them.
Yeah. And I think she was looking for an out and didn't. Like, what's interesting about Stassi is I think we've gotten to watch her get the confidence that comes with, like, asserting your independence and being, like, an independent woman. And she didn't get that really until she, like, started her podcast and, like, cemented herself as, like, this person. So you're watching, like, her self-discovery process, which makes her, like, vulnerable and makes you kind of relate to her as a viewer, where it's like, oh, you felt like you needed to leave this show, but you couldn't just be like, fuck you on your own accord. You had to like latch on to this Patrick douche and like move away. Then you moved back and then you kind of get your footing and like figure it out from there. And now I have appreciation for that, looking back and knowing where she is at this point in time.
She's grown the most, I think, out of any of the people on the show.
For sure. Lisa has a really good read on Katie when she and Stassi meet for like Stassi's apology drink with her at Pump, where she's like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. She's like, how has Katie grown? She's in the same job in the same relationship. And it's like, well, she still is in both of those things.
Yeah. She just agrees with everything Stassi says. So Stassi's okay with her.
Yeah. Shocking. Ariana's braid hurt me physically and I'm ready to press charges. Like, that was not okay.
I have a note here that her braid made me feel, her braid makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's a bad braid.
There's no reason for it to be on that part of her head.
Yeah, it's a hangover braid. I think I asked her too. I was like, how hungover were you when that braid happened? She was like, very.
I mean, it's like, yeah, she forgot what she was doing and then she just gave up.
She hasn't found her braid, like hit the braid stride yet. But it's still like, it's just wild. It's part of their glam, which just had not really found its footing yet.
It's awful.
Sheena's phone case also is an engagement picture of her and Shay, which I really appreciated.
I saw that. I do like how Sheena and Shay's place looked like Shay had zero choice in the matter in terms of what it was. Basically, she in this place and he was staying there, and then it's all just glam photos of them on that one day. It all seemed like it was wedding pictures.
And this too, like, was Sheena's old apartment before her like Park La Brea moment with Shay, where she and Shay moved into like a different apartment. This was like before that, so it's still like 1.0 apartments. Like,
oh god, their old apartment and the pillows. There's a pillow scene that I love where he just, like, you know that he's feeling his life is very like Sisyphean. Like, he's just like taking the pillows off and he's like, and we just put them back on. And I just, it just, I felt his darkness.
Yeah. There's so many moments and like Easter eggs in throughout Vanderpump Rules where you see cast members realize that they're in a hell of their own making. It's incredible.
He was a prisoner. I can't even imagine what their life was like inside those walls. Like, what kind of conversations did they have? He couldn't have spoken up.
No, I think it was just like Sheena really running the show. Yeah. Like, she initiates a conversation and then she ends it when she feels like it's over.
But once she left him, she hasn't been in control in any of our other relationships. So it's kind of interesting.
No, it's her like kind of karma, I think, in a lot of ways. Lisa and Chef Penny have a really weird scene where they talk about sexy food options for Pump, which if you need any sort of hint that food at a restaurant is not good, it's watch a scene like this and that will tell you everything you need to know.
And she's not picking it so that it tastes good.
No, it's just how sexy is it? And food really like isn't sexy.
Not to me.
No, it's like not. It can be, I guess, if you use it in that way, but truly it's like food needs to just be delicious, like not sexy. And
I agree.
Lisa at one point says red cabbage is beyond sexy, which I could not agree with less.
And on buttered lettuce, which then, you know, and then she, how are they going to come on a brioche? I don't know. She's very,
I was like, Lisa, you've really, like, what are you doing, lady?
Here's the thing about Lisa and sex is she says it's a British thing or whatever, or sense of humor. I don't think sex jokes or like relating everything to sex is necessarily British, but she talks about it constantly.
Yeah.
She refers to it constantly. She wants to be wanted by all of the people that work for her.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like by pretty much everyone, but I would pay I don't have a lot of money. I would pay $100 to someone who could prove to me that she actually has sex.
Yeah.
Because like when people talk about it that much and they want to be seen like that, it's almost like a version of Sheena, but like the more mature version rather than the way Sheena does it. But it's like, I don't get a sexual vibe from her, though. I don't think she's actually doing the act.
Yeah. I think it's more of like a marketing ploy.
Yeah.
Than a real, like, this is how you're acting. Though I do think, like, she and Ken probably do have sex, like, more than she lets on.
You think so?
I think so, yeah. Because she likes to joke about her and Ken's relationship is like, I let him have it on his birthday once a year or something. But I think they are actually fucking a lot more. Her approach to sex and sexuality is interesting because she uses it in all these different ways. But then when it comes to Ken, she tries to say like, we never have sex.
Right.
But I think it's the opposite way.
But maybe it's the joke's on me and they really are. I guess the part that I don't believe with that is that I can't see Ken being physically able to have sex.
I think like his pacemaker would explode. He'd throw out a hip.
I don't think he can have sex. Yeah, she needs to be looked at as a sex symbol.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird to me.
The mixology party happens. Yeah. James and Kristen arrive together, and you just know that Kristen is so happy. She's like, feels so good to walk in with James on my arm, which is like, whoa, that's wild.
And
no
one is anyone looking at her thinking, whoa, she's got that like guy on her arm? They're both so delusional, because I feel like James thinks people are looking at them like that, and Kristen thinks it too, and I don't think anyone is.
Well, I think James knows that this is great for his career, so he's really excited, because like he's now full, he went from not being on the show to like fully being on the
show. He was in the when they were taking the pictures the season before.
He like dove into a pool and that was it. And it was like, oh my god, who is this gecko? But then it was James Kennedy.
She gets his first Jack and Coke of the night.
She gets him a Jack and Coke. Then we meet Carmen, who's one of Jax's new girlfriends.
Yeah.
And when asked about Carmen and like what their connection is, Jax goes, Carmen's fun. She's easy. She lives here. She's friends with Sheena, which is like the requirements that it takes to like fuck Jax.
She's a warm body. He doesn't have to go that far.
Yeah.
And I love that much.
She lives here.
I know. She seemed like a nice girl that really didn't belong on the show.
No, she was like in over her head from day one, which you really see when it later where Jax is like, we all lie and cheat here. We all lie and cheat. And then Carmen goes, wait, what?
And like, she looks very, very nervous and surprised when he says that. And I was like, oh, have you not seen an episode of this show? Have you not seen season two?
Yeah, I feel like it really, Carmen may not have ever known anything and just met Jax, like this hot guy that was on a show, and was like, okay. Like, she was in college.
Yeah, but I thought she was friends with Kristen. I guess not.
I think they became, I think Kristen becomes very, very close friends with anyone that fucks Jax. Always has.
I'll definitely want to eventually talk about your theory on Kristen and Jax, because I never really thought about her loving him.
Yeah, I think she was in love with him. I don't know if she is anymore, but I think most of season one and two, she was like desperately in love with Jax.
Are there any particular scenes like or things she said that
she's always saying what a great boyfriend Jax is, how hot he is, like what a great relationship he and Stassi have, like, and comparing him and telling Sandoval like, why can't you be more like Jax?
Wow. I remember. Okay, I'm gonna it's have to shocking. Go watch.
Sandoval and Sheena chat. He swears he never had relations with Miami girl. Sheena utters the iconic line that she can't cry because her eyelashes are mink.
Mink.
Which is just a real, like...
What does that mean?
It just is like when you put on fake lashes. And like for a while, fake lashes were made of mink. It was pre-eyelash extensions.
Okay.
So like you would put on like a strip of eyelashes.
But I would think it Madonna, fall off if you cried?
Like, yeah, because it's thing held on mink. With like just a glue.
But it being mink?
It's made out of mink fur, yeah. Madonna was like the first person, I think, to ever wear like a mink eyelash.
Wow.
And it was like a very specific type of like eyelash enhancement.
I think they can look pretty good. I've tried to put them on once or twice and I cannot figure out the glue thing though.
Yeah, I'm not like, it's like not
I don't,
for
it's
me.
Not, I, it takes too much time and then I think I'm ripping my eyelashes out and I don't know.
Yeah. A side storyline in this episode is like there's been a divide where this is kind of the first time we see like Stassi, Katie, like the two other lost souls, my fave Christina Kelly, which she really never pops off as like another cast member, which is unfortunate because I really would have loved her to be more of a presence on Vanderpump Rules.
And I think she is by far the hottest.
Yeah, she's stunning.
All of the women.
She's a model.
Yeah.
And then Jen and Jeremy, which they never popped off, which is just like, I live for like a side person that couldn't even just like make a baby splash.
No, Jeremy legitimately worked there. Like when I went to Sur, he was the bartender. Like there's no, the rest of them weren't there. And I think it was season three when season three was airing when I went, and James was there. I think it was pre-See You Next Tuesday, but he was there DJing in the lounge. And Jeremy was legit bartending.
Yeah, he and Jen were like longtime servers. I think they had a baby together, which we saw in one season, which was really dark to like see an
a
innocent
baby.
Soul. Yeah, a sir baby, which if things go as planned, we're going to see way more of. And I don't know if I'm spiritually ready for that.
No.
But this is the world we live in. Address themselves as Charlotte, Miranda, Carrie, and Samantha, go out for drinks and dinner. Stassi's dressed like a politician's wife.
She's all business. I swear. Like, I don't understand if it's this episode or what. I don't
it's
get
a,
it.
It's a combination of the hair and the blazers with like a crazy statement necklace that really is what does it. Cause she's doing like a shoulder length, like blonde bob, which just looks very dated.
Yeah.
It never looked like modern.
No, hers didn't.
Yeah. You know?
And I didn't like Kristen Kelly's lipstick. I think she's so much prettier when she doesn't have like super dark.
Oh, I like her when she takes like a little.
You like the gut when she goes
Va Voom risk. Yeah. I'm into anything that Christina Kelly does. I'm just like, I'm here for it. Probably because she's like thin. That's really all it takes for me in a reality.
It's
TV
all she
star.
Because everything looks good on her.
Yeah. She's a hanger person. I really miss Shay F. Kennedy, James's project that he did with Mike Shay.
Wait, it was an actual project?
Yeah, they had a band together.
I thought Shay was just up there because he was bored.
No, if you look at James's laptop, it says Shay F. Kennedy on it, and it was their band that they had together, and Sheena's song Shake That was a Shay F. Kennedy joint, if you will.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the more you know.
I really thought Shay just went up there because he didn't want to be hanging out with everyone.
No, he was a musician and like a rapper for a while. He has like a whole career, like music videos and stuff on YouTube that are truly shocking. Sheena's in some of his music videos.
Is he good?
No. He's will make you incredibly uncomfortable. Oh. But I highly recommend watching.
I like that kind of.
We might have to watch some for like a bonus episode. Okay. Jax has real reads on Kristen and her obsession with Sandoval, where he like
Jax speaks truth.
He does. And he's like, it just makes her look insane and like makes her look really bad.
He's really, I mean, I think he is one of the darkest people on TV now, definitely on reality TV.
Yeah.
He's a true sociopath. He is not that intelligent, but he is so good at reading people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just is because it's the way he navigates life is just based on manipulation. He's good.
But he can be honest in certain point. Like, he's so dishonest usually, but then honest when it comes to like other people. Mm-hmm. But the reads are always like on point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sandoval and Ariana are making out in the corner. Their love is so intense.
They're so into each other.
A lot of the season, like, making out.
Because it's their first, they're clearly in the honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
And it's so obvious. And then we see later, you know, they enter a real relationship phase.
Like, the sex drought.
Sex drought, and sometimes don't even really seem that into each other. More Ariana doesn't seem that into him.
Yeah, just like glorified roommates.
But they'll come back around.
Yeah. And Sandoval's like, okay, I have to go talk to Kristen, which you know is never gonna lead to like anything good. And what I love too about these types of Vanderpump Rules episodes, and I think what the show did so well at its peak, was that it would key you up with so much tension.
Oh yeah. And the music too.
The music and everything would lead up to just one thing happening, and then all hell breaks loose. And they do that really well on this show and in this friend group.
I agree.
And they kind of did it.
They spliced together the scenes really well.
That's what the reunion was really like, and was why it felt like a return to form.
Oh, it was so good.
There was maybe it kind of tried to happen in the season 7 episode with like Beau's mom and the reptilian brain, whatever.
Yeah.
But they just, it's not ever been as good as it was in
this
era.
It's the best
era.
When it breaks out into like something physical.
Yeah, I know. And really what I realized in this episode, because so Sandoval goes to talk to Kristen. She's literally...
dreams.
Her dreams have come true. She's so happy. She just stares into nothing with like a devilish smile
she's been
on her
practicing
face.
For that moment.
Yeah, she's giving nothing but like facial expressions.
I know, I love it.
And like, she's radiating excitement at this predicament.
She loves that chaos is about to happen and that Tom is going after her.
Yeah.
And she has the power. She loves having the power.
She loves creating a situation where someone has to engage with her that she can then be like, no.
I know.
And she loves having James behind her to like fight so that she can be like, stop. Like, but she really says no means yes and stop means keep going.
Yep.
And then
she orchestrated it perfectly.
Yeah. She really is like a sorceress in
that
way.
She voodooed. Yeah. All of them.
So I don't know where things like break down. Like what I realized is Sandoval, I think, is like a pretty violent guy because this is now the second time that he's like physically attacked someone.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like it, but he is the initiator of the first punch.
Yeah, and I think it's because he's so such an emotional person. He's like very ruled by those emotions, so it's easy to really like key him up and get a reaction out of him.
I think he is one of the nicer people on the show.
Yeah,
like, he does shitty stuff, but he does seem legitimately impacted by like how other people feel and things like that.
And so, how they treat each other. Mm-hmm. Because after this episode, he also gets, this is when he like leaves the I'm sorry video message for Sheena where he's like weeping and crying stuff. So it's like, you know that he genuinely feels bad about things.
I think the breakdown with this happened when James, you know, is kind of getting in Tom's face, but then Tom says, why don't you take a Beamer selfie? Mm-hmm. And then James says, why don't you take a Honda Civic selfie? And then the hit happens somewhere around that time.
It does happen after that, but there's another thing where it was like, James, you can't really make out what he's saying. And he's like,
probably
because Tom's like, get out of my face. And then James like leans in and kind of mutters something. And then the hit happens. But it's wild too to see Tom go from hating James to now where he's kind of like defending him a bit.
He used to love him, hate him, and then love him. He might see him as a little brother.
Yeah.
But or the feel way bad he for hits him. James, like he just like
he pushes palms.
He pushes his face out.
It was so good.
And Kristen comes alive. Like Kristen, she was alive before, but once punches are thrown, she's like,
Kristen's born to brawl.
I know. She is a brawler.
She fucking punched like three different people.
Yeah, and she goes in.
Not even just like one punch. She like wails on them.
Closed fist.
Closed fist just like beats the shit out of people.
And I love this fight. Like the other fight was awesome too when like Stassi gets manhandled by Kristen.
Yeah.
Or Kristen Kelly picks her up.
Christina Kelly picks her up and hustles her out of the mix. Yeah, that was really good.
I love that one. And this one, I pause play. Like I don't
so you can see beat by beat.
I don't have slow motion. Yeah. Or any special technology. So I look beat by beat. And there were some moments with Kristen and Tom and where she's punching Tom and her face is just like, you know, she just loves it. She's punching him. But then there's another one where she grabs Schwartz around the neck and she's trying to pull him off of James and he bites her. And then she's yelling at him. And then that's why they're yelling when she's like, I was trying to break it up.
Punches Schwartz.
And I think she punches him because he bit her. And I first saw it on Reddit because someone had freeze framed it. And then I saw it. And you have to look, he has to know that it's her and he bites her off of him.
That's incredible. So then she wails on him.
She fucking
fights back.
And I think that's where all of that anger, like after when she's like going down the stairs and screaming, I think like it just got amped up because he's fucking bitter. He's wild. He's a little bit violent towards women. I am very freaked out sometimes by Schwartz.
You give him enough booze and he'll
or aggressive.
Just, yeah, he'll just like go with whatever flow is happening. And in this one, it just happened to be like an all-out brawl. In like the past, it's been like pouring a beer on Katie,
right?
He definitely is like not super respectful of women.
And he's not as beta as we think, or at least with alcohol, he's no longer beta. He gets real fucking crazy.
Yeah. He feels empowered. He loves like to talk shit when he's really drunk.
And I too think that he is on opiates or something now. He looks a bloated mess and his hair is nuts and his face doesn't match up anymore.
Something ain't right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, just fucking full on chaos breaks out. Everyone's screaming at everyone else. Ariana's kind of just like off, kind of eye rolling somewhere, which I like that she's not involved at all.
And Sheena.
Sheena gets glass in her foot. Sheena's weeping, crying.
I love that scene where she like, you can't see me because it's a podcast, but she's like hitting.
She's like, what? Someone tell me what happened. And like, I think her friend that's like holding something on her foot to like stop the bleeding is kind of laughing. while Sheena's like moaning. Then Sheena actually gets like her comeuppance when a hot bartender picks her up and carries her out.
She gets whisked away.
Yeah, like leaving Shay in the dust. Like, where is Shay?
I don't know.
He's like off like taking a Vicodin somewhere.
Yeah, no, he's definitely...
He's like passed out on the toilet. Sheena's like carried off. She's like, how am I going to deal with this? I'm just a waitress. And it's like, you're brilliant. You're comedic genius.
She is. She's so good. I love that the shit happens at her parties. And I think this is when I realized that she had done a full Botox face. This was the first episode where I really saw that, because when she cried, or when it
morphs into the demon face. Yeah, that's when you know. When you can't just make like a regular ugly cry face, but it goes beyond ugly cry face into fucking devil's advocate demons, that's when you, the surefire sign that someone's Botoxed themselves to hell.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But it's good. I yearn for that amount of Botox.
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would never, I couldn't do that to myself, but it makes me happy when I see someone on TV try to express sadness.
Yeah.
Who's been Botoxed up, and all Bravo really just hands that out to you in every show.
I know, it's really good. Like the level of Botox and fillers. Like I found myself watching season 7 being like, God, I can't wait to get Botox again. Like just like,
do you get it?
I do, but I haven't.
Oh, that's right. You get since, it from your stepmom.
It's all worn off now. And
yeah,
I'm like, when it wears off is like a special kind of hell. Cause you're just like, God, I used to have it so good with like, no wrinkles. And
you're almost
I'm
worse off after you start, because
you're worse
now you,
because
now
you're
you
like,
know,
oh,
better.
I truly do look like a monster underneath all these frozen
and
muscles. Yeah.
Like I didn't know it, but I am a ghoul. And I thought that I was okay before.
Yeah.
I love it. I actually, and I told you, I get like bargain Botox, but I go even further. I get the generic Dysport.
Oh yeah, I've gotten that
which
too.
Actually is, I think, even better. It lasted for like 4.5 months.
Dysport's great. Like it's
yeah,
like
it's,
I
just
have
a
no
generic
problem.
Version. Yeah,
yeah.
No, I love it.
Oh, I love your obsession with the Botox deal.
Yeah, because I don't. My friend's argument that people put it on Groupon because they don't do it well, I just don't buy, because they're all med spas that do it. They're just trying to get new customers.
Mm-hmm.
So. That's my rationale. I'm like, they're fine, but why do they need new? Why aren't they just word of mouth? I guess they're not good enough to just be word of mouth. But
yeah, I mean, it's just like,
I love a Groupon.
It more depends on like who's actually doing it than like what the price is for it.
Yeah, and mine is all price.
Yeah.
And I just hope it goes well and I don't get
you're like, I'll worry about it later.
Well, my
also, yeah. if you go in saying like, look, I really want like a conservative,
yeah,
like they're not gonna, like I would be more worried if you're like, I'm going in for like a full face makeover with Botox.
Oh, no.
And like I just want to do it on the cheap. Like if you're trying to go like Kendall Jenner or like Bella Hadid, who basically became Asian all of a sudden, I'm like so unclear on how the upper part of her face is like completely changed.
She looks beautiful, but
it's,
I don't,
stunning,
she looks,
but it's
like a totally different person. I
yeah.
agree. Oh my God. I was listening to an episode of yours. I forget the girl. She was so funny. It was a recent one. And she was talking about the chin implant.
Oh yeah. Nikki.
She cracked me up. I really liked her. And the chin implant thing. So I think I had the same surgery as Stassi.
Really?
But I got it when I was 17 and it was covered by insurance.
Why?
Because I had so much of an overbite.
Mm-hmm.
That they thought that I was going to grind my teeth a ton and need crowns when I was older. So it was a medical procedure, quote
wow.
unquote. So I don't know if that's what Stassi got, but I had the same thing as Stassi where like I didn't really have a jawline. I don't really have like a big one now, but when I'd shut my mouth, it would just go flat and like mm-hmm. kind of in. And while I was under, I don't remember making this decision because
uh-huh.
I was 17, but they threw in an implant. And so I was like,
oh my God,
Mom,
you fully did have a chin implant.
I know. So I do have an implant and I can feel it.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
And I was rubber banded shut for a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I dropped like 15 pounds. And I was really small when I was younger, but I had this like huge, like lollipop head because I was so swollen.
Yeah.
So I went to college like that. I looked like that for 6 months.
Oh my God.
With braces.
Holy shit.
I know. You could see, like, you kind of could tell it was me, but it wasn't clear. And I'm happy I got it. It was the most painful thing I've ever gone through. Yeah, so I would never really do it painful. As an adult.
Yeah.
When I woke up from surgery, I felt like I'd swallowed my own face. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel attached.
Yeah.
It was the worst thing in the world. But
you're like, I've got that chin implant. Insurance covered it. It was medical, bitch. I love that.
But when I was listening to that, I was just laughing so hard. I wonder, hers could have just been plastic surgery. I mean, it seems like they kind of had that money.
It seems like a plastic surgery, like, only kind of vibe. But you never know.
You never know.
God, kids have it so well. Like, you can just get medical plastic surgery when you're younger.
Yeah.
Now I, like, pray that someone is like, medically, you really need a facelift. Like, I would love that.
Medically, you need your tits to be about two sizes.
Yeah, they're like, medically, you're going to need to suck out all your belly fat and then re-inject it into your tits.
Medically, you need these hair extensions because it's really protecting your head.
Your neck area. Yeah.
Oh my God. I don't know if we're going to get a chance to do a bonus episode, but if we have time, we've got to talk about Jax's tax lien.
Yeah, we will. We're going to do a bonus episode.
Because that's insane.
Yeah, it's insane. We have a lot to talk about on the bonus. So if you want to hear that, please go to patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. And that's where you can access bonus episodes that drop every Friday. Thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thank you, Lara.
And for coming here all the way from Chicago to do this pod. I'm glad that you decided that it was monetarily worth it.
I know. It totally was. I loved it.
Good.
Traveling not across the country. Well,
halfway across the country to pod about Vanderpump Rules.
It was my destiny.
Yeah, it was. Tell everyone where they can find you.
Yes. Okay. So I co-host a podcast called Strong Female Lead based out of Chicago with two other women, Tessa Davidson and Hillary Kerner. And it's our first podcast. So we basically talk about what you would expect based on the title. We talk about strong female leads in movies and television and kind of goes off the rails from there. But you could find us at Strong Female Pod on Instagram and at StrongFemaleLead_Chicago on Twitter. And our episodes drop every Wednesday and we can be found on iTunes and wherever you pod.
I love that. How long have you guys been podding for?
Oh my God. We were talking about it. Probably we started, it was our brainchild maybe in the summer. About a year ago, and then we our first episode dropped February 20th.
Okay, wow.
So it's
you're new to the game.
Very new.
But living, laughing, loving, potting.
Laughing, loving, potting. Great. I love it. The only part that's not stressful for me, because I get stressed doing everything, is the actual podcasting part. That's the part that I'm just like, oh, like it's almost relaxing.
Mm-hmm. That's the rest most of it. Yeah. And then the rest of it is like work. Kind of a troll. Yeah. And by troll, I mean, it's actual work.
It's actual work, but it's great though. And we cover a bunch of different types of movies and take recommendations. But like West Side Story is our movie that we talked about for our episode this week. But we've also done like Nancy Botwin from Weeds.
Oh yeah, I love Weeds.
Right, mm-hmm. I know. And like Chasing Amy. I don't know if you saw that 90s movie. And then we actually were going to be doing Suspiria soon. And I know it.
I've heard you
reference it.
Yes. Are you going to do the old and the new one?
Just the new one.
Just the new one. Okay.
Just the new one. But holy fucking shit, it is truly terrifying. I watched it on the flight on the way here, and I don't know if I should have done that, like, because I was very hungover and already had like the demons, like the next day demons from drinking.
Yeah.
And it really kind of shook me.
That's a really intense movie to like watch on a plane too.
I know for like a 6:30 a.m. flight with 2 hours of sleep.
Yeah, I'm thinking also of like the very end of that movie. Watching on a plane is wild. I hope that your seatmates also got to see the demonic shit that you were getting into.
I really did wonder if people, because I was right near the bathroom, I was wondering if people like waiting in the aisle could see what I was watching.
Yeah.
And I was gasping though. Like, I don't really get freaked out that easily, or it takes a lot to disturb me.
Mm-hmm.
My threshold is super high. I don't know what that says about me, but this was fucking me up. And Mia Goth, anything she's in, I know is going to be terrifying.
Yeah, I love her. And I love her choice in roles.
She chooses incredible stuff. Even just her face, like, I don't know what it is about her type of beauty, but she like fits so perfectly in these like fucked up roles.
Yeah. She was in a really good movie with Robert Pattinson, or I don't know Ooh. How good it was, but it was like the new Claire Denis movie. I can't remember what the name of it is. It's like takes place in space and it's like really weird and fucked
really?
Up. Yeah. It's not actually that great, but if right. you're a Mia Goth head, I would yeah. recommend it because she's really good in it.
Wasn't she in, I saw parts of Nymphomaniac. I didn't watch
she's
the whole
Nymphomaniac.
Trilogy. Did you watch that whole?
Yeah, I really loved it.
Okay, because it was so long, it was a little intimidating for me to get into, but mm-hmm. I could do it.
Yeah, it's just, well, you're off marijuana, but I was going to say it's a hit the vape pen and just like roll with the punches.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that does seem like a good
maybe
pop
you
movie.
Break it up into like
sections,
even like you section off each section,
yeah,
into like more doable chunks.
Because with yeah. the vape, you could lose a whole day, but you wouldn't mind and mm-hmm. you wouldn't notice. Yeah, and I'll notice.
Yeah, after like a non-vape TV marathon just doesn't work for me, because after about an hour and a half, I'm just go into my phone and then I
oh, yeah.
stop paying attention.
I know.
So
it's definitely different.
I'm about that vape life when it comes to watching those multiple hours of TV in a row.
Vanderpump without the vape is a new experience for me, but I am enjoying it, but it was darker when I vaped and watched.
Yeah, I don't get the pleasure of vaping and watching Vanderpump as
because
much
it's
because
work now.
It's like work. Yeah, so I watch it and then I'll watch it again for like yeah. notes. But when I go back in time and like just watch old episodes for fun, it's like that's where more of a vape comes in.
It's dark.
It's yeah, you think?
It's already dark, but then I start to question myself. Oh God. Well, seriously, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. We're going to kick it over to the bonus episode now. So if you want to listen to that, you can go to patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. And for the low, low price of $5 a month, you get a weekly bonus episode. So check it out. And yeah, until next time. Bye. I know I'm feeling, 'cause I know I know I'm feeling, 'cause I know I know.